Do convicts have a constitutional right to DNA testing? In a 5-4 decision yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled against a convicted rapist from Alaska who was seeking the testing. The Supreme Court argued that it was up to states to decide the matter. Currently, only 4 states do not allow DNA challenges for those already convicted: Alaska, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Massachusetts. We're going to go now to Nina Morrison. She joins us here in the studio. She is a staff attorney at the Innocence Project, which works to free wrongly convicted prisoners. And they defended the man in this particular case. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning, Catherine.
Given that 46 states do allow DNA testing for those already convicted, what are the ramifications of this decision?
Well, it was a very disappointing decision, but we think as a practical matter, the impact will probably be very limited. That's partly because there are so many states that have acted to put DNA testing laws on the books, and partly because so many prosecutors actually consent to DNA testing because they recognize that it can conclusively prove innocence and in some cases confirm guilt, and there's no good reason not to do a DNA test. Alaska's really one of the real outliers in this area, and for those in Alaska and other states, it will have a difficult impact.
Let's talk a little bit about this particular case. It involved a William Osborne. He was convicted for rape and assault, I believe, in 1993. Talk a little bit more about the details of this case, the circumstances.
Sure. Mr. Osborne was convicted of a rape. And what makes this case important for DNA testing purposes is that there was evidence collected from the rape that everyone agrees could conclusively prove if he did or didn't commit the crime. He put a misidentification defense on at trial. He said he wasn't there and didn't do it. And what we found in so many cases is no matter how guilty somebody looks, there's no substitute for doing a DNA test which can prove it either way. And we were hoping the Supreme Court would agree that the Constitution at a minimum requires a state can't drag this out in litigation for years and they just have to do a DNA test. And unfortunately, at least in Mr. Osborne's case, we didn't get that ruling yesterday.
You know, given some of the details of this case, in fact, even the way that Mr. Osborne, he didn't come out and say, I'm innocent and I can prove it. It was a more finely tuned point. If you look at the coverage of this, he said, look, this will definitively prove whether I am guilty or innocent. And I believe Justice Scalia even made a point of this and said, look, this person wasn't saying he was innocent. He was just saying you could really tell.
Yeah, Justice Scalia brought that up in oral argument, and the state made a big deal of that point. But, you know, we've seen in dozens of cases that people who give even full confessions to crimes might be innocent. And there's no reason to speculate about did he really mean he's innocent, or when he said he was innocent 10 years ago, was that what he meant, when you can just do a DNA test. And we're fortunate that most prosecutors and most judges understand that, and most states recognize it. But that's not to minimize the difficulty that a number of people, including Mr. Osborne, have trying to get DNA testing done. You know, I've had clients who waited 10 years for a DNA test that freed them. They lost a decade with their families. Some of them had serious illnesses and could have died in prison. You know, prison's also a very dangerous place. You could get killed at any time. And these delays really are very harmful.
There are some criticisms that maybe this wasn't the best case to take to the Supreme Court for this particular point.
Yeah, you know, we represent our clients. We don't choose our cases. We actually had won in the lower courts, and so it was the state that wanted to take this up and make it a national issue. But I think the Supreme Court has left the door open for future challenges in federal court. We hope those won't be necessary and that this will give us some momentum. You know, if you go to our website, you can read a lot more about some of the difficulties in different states that people have getting DNA testing at innocenceproject.org. But, you know, we're engaged in this battle in all 50 states, and we're hopeful it'll continue.
Listen, also to go back to this particular case for a moment, there was advanced DNA testing available at the time he was in his original trial. Why wasn't use made of it then?
There was an early form of DNA testing that actually was limited, and the state's own expert said he thought that the evidence was too small in quantity and too degraded to do that kind of testing. So nobody tried it at the time. William Osborne said he asked his own lawyer to do it. He even wrote to an outside expert for assistance. She was inexperienced in DNA matters, and she didn't think it was a good idea to do the test. So one thing we said to the Supreme Court is if someone might be innocent, why should they be stuck with a lawyer's decision, you know, public defender's decision not to do a DNA test when we can find out what the test would have shown? You know, it's one of those side issues that's very frustrating to keep facing when there's a simple test that could just get to the truth.
There are just 4 states that don't allow this. Why not?
Yeah, there's actually 3. Alabama just passed a law a few weeks ago, but a very, very limited one that only allows it in capital cases and under extraordinary circumstances. You know, it's hard to know why the other 3 states haven't come into line and also why some states that have very strict limitations don't improve those laws. You know, convicted prisoners are not the most powerful interest group in the country. I think it's a sign of what a broad consensus there is on the issue that we've managed in less than a decade to get so many laws passed, but hopefully this will give us a little momentum.
And quickly, also talk about the fact that it isn't just defense attorneys who want DNA testing.
That's right. We've had, in over half the cases where people have been exonerated, we've gotten consent from prosecutors to do the test and haven't needed to go to court. You know, Mr. Osborne's case is different. We've been fighting for a decade, and unfortunately, after yesterday's decision, we'll have to keep fighting a little longer.
All right. Nina Morrison, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Nina Morrison is a staff attorney at the Innocence Project, a nonprofit that works to free wrongly convicted prisoners.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.